Welcome to the LX Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and this is our week 14 primer here. So I was doing some of the math on some of my teams. Some of the games don't matter. Some of them matter quite a bit. I've got 7 and 6 teams that are locked into playoffs, and then I got 8 and 5 teams that need a win. So, just keep grinding away, and here we are. I do have a couple strategy tips before we sort of get going, but before I do that, I just wanted to talk about Demaryius Thomas, and this one hit me for reasons that probably because he was younger than me, which is like one of the first times a player's died that's been younger than me that I remember. I don't know if it's that or what it is, but I remember vividly I was thinking back, and I could probably do a list of like it's absolutely the top 10, but it's probably somewhere between like 6 and 10, I would imagine, if I sort of ranked them. But the most memorable plays of like the of that like I can remember like of my like what I'd consider like adult lifetime watching football. I guess if I sort of narrowed it down to that, it would be even higher. But since I've been like, watching football, like the Tennessee, the miracle there, the Nashville, whatever they call it, stupid play. That one's memorable. The Kevin Dyson play, he's tackling on the 1 foot line or whatever, obviously memorable. The Diggs play was one was really memorable. But right up there with that is the Demaryius Thomas play. And I remember exactly where I was sitting and exactly what I was doing. And I had just graduated. And I had just moved in to my grandmother's to study for the bar. I remember exactly the chair I was sitting in. And I remember sitting there watching. I'm pretty sure it was the weekend before like studying started in earnest. And I remember sitting there. I don't think I had money on the game. And I don't think I had bet it. I can't remember why I won it, but I was really rooting for Denver. And I don't remember, I don't know if I had bet on it or something. For whatever reason, I was really rooting hard for Denver. And it was just one of those things where I was just like, they had run the ball. And I actually, like, in the past, like, couple of years, I'd gone back and actually looked at how many times they ran the ball on first down. And it was, like, all but two. I think it was, like, 28 for 30. And don't ask me why I remember that, why I went back and looked. I don't remember exactly why. But it was to talk about that play. I was like, just throw play action. Just on first down, just throw play action. They'd run it, like, all but twice on first down. It's basically to try and hide Tebow, and they come out. And this was like before Demaryius was like a big deal, and he came in, and this was before I really played Dynasty. I actually started playing Dynasty like a couple months after this, so I wasn't truly familiar like that up to speed on how great Demaryius was, and so I how great of a prospect he was, and all those things, and so. Tebow throws the play action on first down. It was like the first play of overtime, and he just houses it. And it was just like, it was just very memorable. And I remember exactly where I was sitting, exactly what I was doing. And I don't know why it ranks up there in terms of memorable plays for me, just because it was so like I couldn't, but like I was like, just do like it's gonna work, it's gonna work, and it worked. I just remember that one. So, I added him in the Scott Fishbowl. It's one of those things, like I look back and that game, like it just gave me, and I don't know if it was the time of life it was in or why that like moment meant as much like to me in terms of like, just sticking in my head that moment, that play. It's just interesting in terms of all of the all the things that could. That one has stuck in my mind. So, rest easy, Demaryius. I know that I had him on teams as recently as a couple years ago, And, you know, he was awesome and probably pre-injury was on, you know, it's interesting because I haven't checked the case for him, but like there, you know, Peyton had basically pitched his Hall of Fame candidacy. And I hadn't really gone into depth on it or anything like that. But he was absolutely on the track of like those guys of like Julio and some of when you like he had as good of a 4 or 5 year stretch run as you could really post, and you know then injuries sort of sidetracked him, and of course he's on that great Broncos team. But so I just wanted to sort of talk about that for a minute because it's sad because he was such a big player. And I know I'm younger than some subscribers, so others have had this happen or whatnot, whether they're fantasy players or whatever, players popular when they were in their, in their fandom, I guess, have passed away. But for me, it hasn't happened that often. He's definitely one of them. So, sad for that, but, and by all accounts, like an awesome dude. I remember the stories about his mom and everything. Like it was pretty incredible. Some of the stuff that he'd gone through and came out, and everyone sort of talked about how good of a dude he was. So, it's sad to see, and disappointing there for sure. All right, let's turn to the week 14 stuff. So there's COVID all over the place. So I think there's some implications of this. Let's just take a step back. If there's newer subscribers, if there's people that maybe we don't remember this as much, but one of the big things for me has always been in the COVID era has been, hey, like you have to sort of protect and preserve your lineup, right? So, and your roster, your flexibility, like your ultimate flexibility. So what do I mean by that? Well, if you have someone going on Thursday night and it is a close call versus them on a lineup decision, put them in the lineup and get it over with, right? Bank the points, especially now, right? You don't want to be in a spot where like, all of a sudden you've got like a rash of COVID stuff and you're starting a clearly inferior player on Sunday than you could have been on Thursday. Okay, so that's one thing that I think you should definitely be doing right now I call it banking points. And we have Thursday games, and I think in a week or maybe 2 weeks from now we'll have Saturday games as well. Again, so you are banking points. If it's a tier break in terms of your lineup decisions, get the person in the lineup early. I don't think that this COVID stuff is going away. And honestly, like, again, I'm not getting into the biological debates or any of that stuff about it, or, you know, but it just is like we are butting up against the time where a lot of these shots would be, you know, first and second doses would be given. If you haven't boosted, you know, gotten a booster, you're going to be more susceptible to it and all that stuff. So I definitely think this is not. You know, and I haven't been tracking this. We haven't done analytics or anything, but the COVID reserve numbers are up this week, and like that's up over previous weeks. And previous weeks it was, you know, a handful of guys or whatever. Because it's just be randomness. 100% it could be randomness. Like, yes, it's honestly it's probably a significant portion of it is randomness. But at the same time, we're seeing spikes across the country. So we do have to go back to those, you know, some of those principles, right? Which is which is get guys in your roster early. The other thing too, that the, I guess a corollary to that is if you have early games in the week, if that's a Thursday or if it's a Saturday game, right? And, I think Thursday in particular, Saturday, maybe it's a lesser so occurrence. But build in the flexibility of don't carry over. If you have someone that's right on the edge of your roster, and I'll use an example in a minute, but if you have someone that's right on the edge of your roster that you're not going to play in an early game, get them off your roster. And what I mean by that is, I'll use an example. Benny Snell. If Najee Harris got, you know, suspended for the rest of his life tomorrow, I still would go into week 15 not knowing who the starter in in Pittsburgh is. And then it's going to take me until week 16. Like, there's a – I think the most likely answer is no one's startable. And then, you know, if that's a 50% chance or something like that, it's split between three guys, right, of possible people. It could be Benny Snell. It could be McFarlane. It could be Blaj, right? I got – no, like, it could be somebody else, right? That there's that risk too, but you sort of chop that up. Then all of a sudden, like, I'm at a really, really small probability that A, it's going to be someone decisive, that B, I got the right guy because I don't have help for you on this one. And like, and C, that I would actually be able to start them with confidence in a semifinal week. And it's that actually be either a good idea or my roster could need it. Now, we're gonna presume that any roster can use this startable player at this point just because of all the stuff that's going on. But the point of this is that roster spot is more valuable to be used in the event that you know, Jamal Williams goes down to the COVID list and Godwin Igwabuki is available, right? Or Miles Gaskin goes down to the COVID list and Duke Johnson's available. And assuming that, you know, I'm just talking about HHGs, right? Just one injury away human hand grenade guys. I'm not even talking about, like, stashing your own guys like that. I'm just talking about, like, hey, let's be, like, casting a broad, wide net on these guys. You want to have that roster flexibility. So if you have a guy like Benny Snell or, maybe even Kenny Ngannou this week would have been an example of this, depending on depth. But you sort of get the idea. Like, don't carry that. Like, you want access to that spot. So when there's a rash of Friday COVID outbreaks, you can access that roster spot. You can cut the person, you can add who you need to add, and then you've got, whether that's a spot start, whether you're guarding against someone else getting a spot start, you can play all those games. You can make those positive decisions. So that's definitely, I think, two things, right? So key on early games, get your guys in your lineups, just bank your points. And number two is really avoid, you know, crunching roster spots. Now, listen, if it's Alexander Mattison, we're not cutting him, right? We're still playing Dynasty. I'm talking about the bottom of your team, right? Last third of your team, right? The total non-core assets, the total situational plays that you're dealing with, right? And you don't see it right now. They're not an injury away guy. Those roster spots need to be accessible for people that can make a difference for you in this last month. So, or they're difference making guys over the long term of your dynasty portfolio, right? Benny Snell is neither of those things, right? Cut, don't carry him from through that Thursday game, because you lose 72 hours, and that 72 hours can be a big deal. You know, just again, it's small edges, right? We're trying to turn that roster spot from a 1% bet to a 2% bet, right? That is a massive increase. That's 100% increase. You know, more likely it's 3% to, I actually think it's probably bigger, right? It's probably bigger than just that, but you get the idea. Like, Godwin Igwabuki, I could play him this week, right? And that could make a difference for me. So those things I think are really, really important. The other thing I'll say too is, there is, again, we don't have enough data on this to truly say this, but I think there's something to be said about some of what we know about COVID, which is, hey, it's going to spread, like, kind of in, right? If one person gets it and they're in close contact with a lot of other people, like, the people that they're in close contact with are at highest risk of getting it. And again, vaccinations and how the nature of the contact and all that stuff matters, right? But we know that if, like, there's close contact and the person's not vaccinated, like, that person's screwed for the week. And if they're, you know, if they are vaccinated, again, waning immunities, all that nonsense. I'm not even going to pretend I know it, but you have that risk to those players too. So you've got both the risk to unvaccinated people and vaccinated people. And so this is one of those things where you can have a cluster, right? So you can have, we'll just use Detroit as an example. And I don't know this to be true, but, and so this is just an example. But let's assume that Jamal Williams has it. And then, you know, I'm recording this on Friday night. It's like 9 o'clock. If Saturday, like Jamar Jefferson, who is in the same, in the room with him, whatever, the close contact tracing comes back, or like he tests positive, then all of a sudden, like you have like that situation presenting itself. Now you've got Godwin Igbuebuke in a clear 100% workload type situation, right? Like those things are very possible right now. You know, the same thing could, like, our Godwin Igbuebuke shares could go bust between now and Sunday, right? And then we cut them, right? Like, depending on the nature of it, like you get the idea. But those are sort of the things I think you need to be really attuned to at this point. So running back threes, whether it's good offenses or unclear situations or all those, like, where there's some lack of clarity ahead of it, right? So Igbuebuke's really at a two right now, and now we'll see. I haven't made lineup decisions yet. I want to see some projections and that sort of stuff on what lineups I'm going to put them in and all that stuff. But you get the idea, right? Having access to these, right? This is a rich man's decision making, right? This is a rich person's decision making in terms of decisions. You're not stuck with, hey, I got to start wide receiver 5 on the Saints, right? You're stuck with, all right, do I want to play Igbuebuke? Like, well, it depends on the matchup, right? Like, do I want to play the receiving centric guy on a team that's probably going to be losing? Like, okay, like, well, we can talk about that one. That one's valuable to us. So you get the idea. A ton of shots at these types of guys, and especially where there's like clear threes. So the Miami situation, I think, is worth taking a shot on. Like Jarrett Patterson, if he's available in Washington, is worth taking a shot on. You sort of get the idea on these. Corey Clement for Dallas is one. Benjamin in Arizona is another one. I don't have a great one in Atlanta, nor in Baltimore, nor Buffalo, really. Chicago, I guess, Damian Williams, those shots. Chris Evans and Cincinnati, I guess, would make some sense. Dearness Johnson's absolutely one in Chicago. I'm just sort of walking down these. I'm doing an impromptu running back roundup for a second here, or running back rundown. Dearness Johnson, I mentioned. Corey Clement, I mentioned. Denver, Demaryius Crockett with Mike Boone being on IR. So again, and this is one where you can, like, I'll talk through my process on these for a second. Demaryius Crockett goes, Mike Boone goes out on COVID. Melvin Gordon's status up in the air. Javonte Williams, the injury, is the injury way guy. He's the clear starter if Melvin Gordon's not there. He's not truly an injury way guy for fantasy value, but you get the point. If Melvin Gordon, for some reason, can't actually play this weekend and Javonte Williams comes up with COVID, all of a sudden, Demaryius Crockett is usable, right? Or potentially usable, depending, right? That's an option we can sort of pivot to if we need to, if we want to. So again, I pick up Friday afternoon, deep, like 40 man deep, pick him up. And again, this could be even valuable for next week because these guys are still going to be testing. And listen, if there's an early next week test positive based off of this late week exposure, like all of a sudden, like that opens up a week 15 thing. But the point is, you take Crockett, listen, Javonte Williams gets to game time and you can say, all right, like I can float Crockett because I think Gordon's going to be back or whatever your decision-making process is. Or I can stash him. Let's just see what happens early next week in terms of this COVID stuff. You give yourself a shot, right? Those are the sorts of things that I'm doing. So, again, I'm being slightly neurotic about it. Some other ones, Marlon Mack, obviously, he's an injury way guy, I think, anyways. I guess McKinnon makes some sense in KC. I don't have a great one in for the Chargers, you know, we have that problem all around. Peyton Barber, obviously, for the Raiders for reasons other than that. You know, Duke Johnson, taking shots at Duke Johnson, Salvin Ahmed, Phillip Lindsay. I'm hoping that there's some clarity there in terms of who it's going to be over the weekend. Right? That's one of the things that we're hoping for. You know, Kenny Ngannou is another example. That'll be a next week thing. Tony Jones for the Saints, they're already dealing with a COVID thing, so that's definitely one. And then, yeah, just looking down here. Brian Hill with San Francisco is another one I'm interested in at that. The Tampa Bay guys rostering them all probably at this point. We'll see with McNichols. I struggled to see how he's going to be valuable at this point, but he's one that sort of fits in this maybe a little bit further down. I there's a lot in front of him. And I don't know how he gets all the way back, but he's sort of another one of these running back threes. I think he can probably force on your roster. Again, I cut him in a spot to get Igbuoke. I might add him back, and we'll see. And, of course, Jarrett Patterson with Washington. So that gives you an idea, sort of the rundown on some of the decisions that we're making there. All right, let's turn to some of the injury stuff, some decision-making process for the week in terms of lineups. We have out this week Daniel Jones, it looks like, and Andy Dalton's doubtful. Fields is back, so that's not really a concern. Mike Glennon, there was some thought that maybe it would be a Jake Fromm spot star, which would have been fascinating. But the Mike Glennon has gone DNP limited full. Looks like he's cleared the concussion protocol. Should be good to go for the weekend here. So that's pretty much the only thing that's up in the air. Rodgers got in a limited practice. That's something we've been watching for. Zach Wilson's full. No one else is listed on the injury report. So that gives you an idea. Full all week for Baker, which is notable. Full all week for Taysom Hill with the finger. Burrow went DNP limited full. That was an issue with his finger. But otherwise, there's nothing really too much there. Some of the good matchups here, I'm just going to go basically the handful that are on either extreme. Really good matchups this week. Dallas versus Washington, so it's the best matchup for the quarterback position. Jacksonville over Tennessee, I'm not sure how much there is to cash in on that. Carolina over Atlanta, again, not sure I'm really cashing in on that. Cleveland over Baltimore. It'd be interesting to see if Baker can get on a run here. Three out of the next four are positive matchups. Nothing as good as this one against Baltimore. Both the other three are basically neutral-ish to slightly positive twice. Las Vegas and Pittsburgh here in two out of the next four games. For Cleveland. Last one that's positive by more than 2 points per game is the Saints playing the Jets. So an interesting matchup there. Again, Taysom Hill, your projected starter with some of the rushing stuff, could be interesting. All right, games on the negative side this week. So the soft Buffalo defense is the number one team against the pass. So that matchup with Brady will be interesting. Atlanta has a tough matchup against Carolina, and Detroit has a tough matchup against Denver. So other than that, everything's within a couple points. So not anything super, super notable on the matchup front there. All right, turning to the running back position. So we're going to have Jamal Williams out on COVID. We're going to have Myles Gaskin out on COVID. So I haven't seen great reports yet on who is going to replace Myles Gaskin. It's probably Phillip Lindsay, Salvin Ahmed. They've got Duke Johnson. I think Duke Johnson's the most interesting one from a fantasy perspective. Phillip Lindsay has just kind of proven that he's not very good at football, and Salvin Ahmed, he's okay. I think Duke Johnson offers enough like two-way ability that he could be interesting, and we've seen him be productive before. I don't know if it's going to be this week. And again, the return status of Gaskin's interesting. Roto World's reporting that he's actually fully vaccinated, so there's a good chance that he'll be able to clear the protocol by next week. So good there for him. Again, this might be a single spot start this week here for for Miami, and you might not necessarily have a cleared situation. I am going to hold on to Duke Johnson here, I think, and then any of the other guys. I'm just going to stash him here. See if we've got like a late report. Who knows? Maybe there's an inactive or something like that that really clears up the situation. The other thing, and I think this is an ongoing debate that we're going to be having, and this is something I would pay attention to over the weekend, is the Detroit situation. I mean, when we look at some of the snaps and stuff and that sort of thing for Detroit here at the running back position, I think you could make the case that the best person in terms of beneficiaries of the of Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift being out is Igwabuki, because he's got the passing game work. And that would sort of be the thing that I would point to. That said, when you look, you know, in terms of rushing work, it's pretty much split between him and Jefferson on the year. That's Jamar Jefferson. I should be clear here. We're talking third string running backs for Detroit, so I want to make sure I eliminate any ambiguity. But when you look at this routes in terms of the snaps, 25 routes for Igwabuki, only 2 for Jamar Jefferson. So that's something that, like, give me that side of it, and I think that's, like, absolutely, right? That's the place where we want to be. And again, without Hockenson, right, without anyone in particular that's good at the receiver position, not, no offense to Josh Reynolds, you know, I mean, this could be a situation, like, you could get a Charlie checkdown situation where 8 for, you know, 43 is a stat line that's a double-digit point week and can get you through. So that sort of thing, I think, is well within his range of outcomes. Again, that 25-2 snap share, I guess route share, really, is something that is pretty interesting there with Igwabuki over Jefferson. And then it was, you know, 5 carries for Jefferson and 2 carries for Igwabuki. It was 17 for Jamal Williams. So again, it was a small piece of the pie there in terms of their rushing, 7 combined carries and a 24 carry running back performance by Detroit. But that's small. Again, we're parsing small sample sizes. I think that one's interesting. Give me Igwabuki pretty clearly in that one. Again, especially just give me the receiving aspect of it. And they're going to be an underdog. They'll be an underdog like the rest of the way. I'll take that game script with that player. I think that's something. Yeah, if we're going to have one of these situations clarified, that's going to be one. Again, they're a 10.5 point road dog. So give me that. Give me Igwabuki there. And it wouldn't shock me if he's like a running back 1 this week, just based on potential receiving work. Again, if he goes, he could go 8 for 43 and kick in a touchdown, and all of a sudden, like, you've got pretty close to a 20-point game, right? So just that would not shock in the least. Okay, some other injury stuff here to note. This podcast is probably going to go a little bit longer than it typically does. I'll just say that. All right, so Tony Pollard's DMP, DMP, DMP. I think Corey Clement, you got to pick him up. Mixon, DMP, DMP, DMP with an illness. Pirine is a stash, I think. Chris Evans is out. You know, Pirine's probably already on your roster. I doubt he's available. I mean, check it, but I doubt he's available. I think if Mixon plays, you probably feel okay playing him, is sort of my thought. You play guys that are really good. And I get the impression that he is potentially going to play this week. And if that's the case, I think you have to give what I like about a situation like this is I think we'll get news over the weekend about his status, right? So I think you get like a late Saturday night or early Sunday morning Schefter Rappaport tweet barrage with him, like, you know, hey, he's back, you know, he's ready to go, or, you know, hey, he's iffy, you know, and then it's maybe a Pirine game. Like, you, I think you'll get it. This isn't going to be one of those ones, I think, where we're sitting on, 11:29 wondering what's going to happen with, you know, 40 roster tabs open in our internet browser. I just don't think that's what's going to be the case. I think we'll have a better idea of this going forward. and some degree of certainty by the time we wake up. Call it, we wake up on Sunday morning, if you will. And for what it's worth, Zach Taylor has said he, quote, expects Mixon to play. I don't put a ton of credit into that because it's like lying season, it seems like, this past week or so. But for what that's worth, again, verify before you believe. But that I think it's better than saying I don't expect him to play. So that's the Mixon situation. Again, I mentioned Pollard, DMP. Clement is an interesting one. Also there, Ito Smith, who is less interesting, I think, but is also a name to monitor. Again, he's nothing more than 40-man plus probably at this point, but just that's a, hey, Zeke gets banged up, you know, Pollard can't return, all of a sudden he's an injury away guy. How about riding that lightning on like a week 17 game? Those things, not impossible. So just keep him on your Rolodex of names to monitor here if there's a Zeke injury. Some other ones, Daryl Henderson with a thigh injury here. I do think you need to pay attention to this situation because I don't have a great take on it in terms of what they're going to do. This gives me the impression that like he's limited, and probably going to play would sort of be the track that he's on. I will say this: if you have someone that you can break ties against, right? if you have someone in the range of him that you think is pretty close, you know, even if you're going down a little bit, I wouldn't mind. I would not mind benching Henderson here. And listen, if this is a I think the good thing about this is probably a playoff situation for most of us. And if you're going to, if you're going to be in that spot, you'd much rather have, you'd much rather wait this week, get some answers, and then, we'll kind of go from there on a week 15 playoff type lineup. So get the answers this week and then you'll have a better idea. I think that's good. And you know, if you need to win to get in, I'd probably break ties away from Henderson would sort of be my inclination. For what it is worth, at Football Guys, we have them basically splitting. I don't think that's ultimately how it plays out. We've got Henderson with 10 carries and 2 receptions, so 12 touches for about 60 yards and about call it a half a touchdown. And then we've got Sony Michel at basically 13 touches, call it 60 yards and a little bit more than a half a touchdown. So those are the total touchdowns receiving and rushing. So running back 2 fringe. So I don't have a great feel for that at this point. Again, I doubt that that's how it really, I don't think like they haven't shown a big inclination to be splitting touches. So that's not how I would think that it would be. Some other stuff here. Melvin Gordon is a limited participant here. Just be watchful of that Mike Boone COVID-19 situation. So that's one to watch for. Elijah Mitchell going to be out with a concussion. We'll watch the longevity of that. We also have Tevin Coleman out with a concussion. So that could be Ty Johnson. Definitely on the watch here for him as a potential spot start here. This is a week 14 spot start. This is interesting in terms of this is why we want a lot of options, because this is what can happen. Worth noting as well that Michael Carter has been ruled out of this game. So all that said, right, you have a really interesting spot here with Ty Johnson. The problem, worst matchup of the week against the Saints. So sometimes we get the breaks that we want. Other times we get breaks that turn out to be a terrible matchup. So not that the Jets are going to be any sort of great matchup, but I think a better one than this would be interesting. Although, listen, consolidated, this is not the Alexander Mattison theory consolidated into a good running back. This is a ton of volume consolidated into one running back who is certainly not of the Alexander Mattison quality with Ty Johnson at this point. But I think this is an interesting potential spot here for some consolidated workload. And like, you could absolutely do worse than that. You know, we have him right around running back 27. I would be more comfortable, I think, playing him than Daryl Henderson. Because at least I know what the workload is going to be. So that would sort of be my thought. So that's pretty much the running back situations. Let's just do a scan down here of the good matchup. Saints against the aforementioned Jets, the best matchup of the week. So fire away on Kamara. Houston with a good matchup against Seattle. Again, I don't know how you really exploit that one. Denver with a good matchup against Detroit. They will be a big home favorite as well. You play Javonte Williams. You play Melvin Gordon. And listen, they have, I think it's the best running back matchup here down the stretch. So this is absolutely a good opportunity for Javonte Williams or Melvin Gordon. If either of the other one is injured, really good matchups here. They play Detroit this week, Cincy next week, Vegas, and the Chargers, all four of whom give up more points than average at the running back position. Kansas City against Vegas this week, so Clyde Edwards-Helaire, fire up the band. Again, they have positive matchups as well down the stretch. That's, I believe, the third best matchup remaining schedule. Fourth one, tied for fourth. So only ones better are Denver, Houston, Detroit. So good stuff there for Edwards-Helaire as we go forward. And Pittsburgh week 16 too, who just got absolutely dump trucked on Thursday night by Dalvin Cook. Okay, Carolina gets Atlanta this week, so that's a positive matchup. San Fran against Cincy. Again, you have to watch for the Jeff Wilson, Jamichael Hasty committee, so we're watching for that in terms of all that. I'm hopeful that it's going to be Jeff Wilson consolidated workload. That's what some of the reports have been here, calling him the, quote, front runner to be the lead back, which honestly profiles as being the most likely thing based on his, based on Kyle Shanahan's prior usages. The Chargers against the Giants, also a positive matchup. So Eckler, running back one, anytime he is breathing and on the turf, is capable of producing that. Worst matchups of the week, Jets, Atlanta playing Carolina is a tough one as well. Washington playing Dallas, Cleveland playing Baltimore, all three of them are negative 4.0 points. And then you jump up to Green Bay, a tougher matchup against Chicago at negative 2.4, and slightly better than that, although still tough. And our group of six teams here on the negative side of two is Jacksonville facing Tennessee. So I don't know with that matchup how much we trust anyone. We do need to get James Robinson to the Urban Meyer School of hand placement. Okay, we are looking now at your wide receivers in terms of your injuries. Hey, Julio, on the watch for potentially returning here. Haven't seen him. Say that he's a full go or anything like that. But I'm definitely watching that. Again, he's a guy that's probably in our orbit. So definitely, relevant, I guess, in terms of potentially being a lineup consideration in our orbit here down the stretch. He has practiced in full all week. And so as of recording, they have not activated him and have not given him a game designation because they don't have to because he's on IR. But he can be activated. Look for that to happen Saturday for him to play on Sunday. So I believe 4 p.m., something like that, later in the day. So be on the watch for that. And then if he's activated, I think he's a much-needed shot in the arm for that offensive attack. All right, some other notable situations here at the receiver position. Some guys that are out are Randall Cobb, Anthony Schwartz, Kadarius Toney, is out as well, but got a couple of limited participations in Thursday and Friday. So maybe here on the next couple of weeks. I will say I'm doing some research for the 2022 edition. Kadarius Toney in bright lights sticks out as being a potential uptick guy. The yards per route run is extremely high. He's barely going to clear the threshold. I use like 200 routes as being a threshold that I've worked off a lot of my analysis because I want some of those low, I want situations like him to be something that we have a baseline for to understand. When they cross, when you get 200 routes and that sort of really high efficiency, it is a situation that can be really high upside and point to some stuff. So you can definitely, for him, I think he's going to be up higher, and because there's an upside there to that too, that I think is pretty interesting. So I'm definitely going to be moving him up in any theoretical ranks that I have, which don't really exist, but you get the idea in terms of my consciousness. He's one that's going up. All right. Thielen obviously missed last week, so we'll be on the watch for him here coming forward. Or missed Thursday, I should say. Didn't miss last week. He missed Thursday. So some questionable guys. Brandon Cooks popped up with a limited participation on Friday and was limited non-injury on Wednesday. Wasn't listed as missing anything on Thursday and then was limited on Friday. So that's a concerning track. Going from full to limited on Friday. So we'll be watching that. Listen, I think you play him in a wide receiver 2-3 type range. And you do so on a volume basis. And it might not be the prettiest thing that I would maybe watch. But I think that's where he belongs. And we've seen him be decent with Davis Mills in the past. So I'm playing him, but again, this back injury late in the week, that popping up, that scares me. Some other situations here. Elijah Moore, DMP all week, so he's probably out, but he has not been ruled that. He's just been ruled questionable. DMP limited for Debo, so that is a groin injury, so we'll be watching there. And again, maybe that's some of the work that goes into Jeff Wilson, right? If this is Jeff Wilson ends up competing against Debo for some of that running back work, we'll be on the watch for that. I think if no Debo, vault Jeff Wilson up would sort of be the thought process. And those are really the injuries of note there at the position. T. Higgins, limited participant the past couple days. He's questionable, but should be probably on the good side. Allen Robinson's back, so not listed at all, so that's good. Jarvis Landry is good as well. And no other real questions there. So good stuff all around there at the receiver position. All right, let's look at some of the matchups. All right, best matchups, Pittsburgh. This past week has already played, so that was the best matchup of the week. Jacksonville's plus against Tennessee. I'm not necessarily sure how you capitalize on that. Maybe Laquon Treadwell. Maybe that's your pivot. The Jets against the Saints. So hey, maybe this is a situation where you could get Zach Wilson, for example, back on track. That'd be interesting. Dallas over Washington. Again, that tracks the quarterback situation. Buffalo over Tampa. Washington versus Dallas. Tennessee versus Jacksonville. Carolina versus Atlanta. New Orleans versus the Jets. Arizona versus the Rams. Minnesota versus Pittsburgh on Thursday night. Those are all the games that are sort of on the above track. A couple of interesting ones in terms of that New Orleans Jets game, both of them on the positive side, so maybe sneaky shootout potential in that game. All right, Buffalo is like by far the toughest matchup against opposing receivers, so we'll be, I don't necessarily think that takes anyone like Godwin or Evans out of your consideration, but just be careful, right? I mean, if you have a lot of wide receiver two options in that sort of range, maybe break ties away from Evans in a week like this. I will say, though, that is with Tre'Davious White, and they don't have him now, so we'll be on the watch for that. Giants tough matchup against the Chargers. Houston tough matchup against Seattle. Kansas City tough matchup against Vegas. Still playing everyone there. Atlanta tough matchup against Carolina. Don't love that situation for Matt Ryan. Chicago tough matchup against Green Bay. Again, that's probably Justin Fields in the running back too. Probably desperation. I'm guessing we're not facing a lot of contending decisions with him on our teams. And then Detroit against Denver is the last of the tough matchups for the receiver position. Not like you're starting anyone there either. Your tight end position here. Some notable names that they're going to miss this week. So Hockenson out. Joku's on COVID list, so we'll have to watch for his potential reactivation here on Saturday. So watch for that if he is able to. And then Harrison Bryant out with an ankle, so that definitely opens up the Joku or Austin Hooper potentially in that offense for this game. Tommy Sweeney out with a hip. Darren Waller out with his knee injury again. Those are the big ones there at the tight end position. And then a couple of questionable ones. Ertz, limited participants the first 2 days. Shouldn't be a problem with him to give it a go. And that's pretty much all your question marks there. All right, the matchups here. Last position here. Houston, best matchup of the week against Seattle. Not really sure how you capitalize on that, honestly. Kansas City, good matchup against Vegas. I know how to capitalize on that one. Travis Kelce to the moon. Seattle against Houston, not a great situation there in terms of capitalizing. New Orleans against the Jets, again, not a great capitalization situation. Maybe Nick Vinette, that'd be interesting. Cleveland versus Baltimore. Again, maybe that's an Austin Hooper. That could be an Austin Hooper consolidation workload game. All right, on the negative side here, Detroit has a tough matchup against the toughest matchup of the week against Denver, so you don't love that. Again, you're probably not playing anyone without Hockenson there. Tampa against Buffalo, you're probably still playing Gronk as a tight end one. Green Bay against Chicago, again, probably not playing anyone there. The Rams versus the Cardinals, probably breaking ties away from Higbee in a tight end two landscape. Pittsburgh, again, that was Thursday night. Cincinnati facing San Francisco. So, again, Uzama is probably more on the tight end two fringe-ish than really like a tight end one type consideration. And last but not least, Jacksonville facing Tennessee. Oshak Hennessy is probably more in that tight end two consideration than anything else. All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode. Again, sorry I went a little long, but had some bigger picture stuff I wanted to discuss. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. Good luck getting into the playoffs and getting byes. We'll talk again very soon.